We bid you welcome to the Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers support this program with prayers and donations. This week, Brother David Johnson will speak to us on the topic, He Taught in Their Synagogues. This is based upon the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen. Please, as you have opportunity, pray with me. Holy Father, we bow before you in humility, and we honor you as we open this prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, all that we have and enjoy comes from you. Thank you for blessing us in so many powerful ways. We are especially thankful for the gift of salvation that's found only in Jesus. Please bless each of our listeners who are troubled or ill. Give them your healing and peace. Thank you for the missionaries, pastors, and teachers throughout the world. Our prayer is that you will bless each of them with your protection, health, and strength in faith. And as we close this prayer, we ask that we will always be looking and ready for the promised return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak to us on the topic he taught in their synagogues.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life broadcasts as we share the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, He Taught in Their Synagogues. And our text is from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, as our theme text. Listen to the Word of God. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. No one denies, or maybe I should say almost no one denies, that Jesus Christ was a masterful teacher. Piecing together clues from the Gospels, such as references to Jesus's visiting Jerusalem during the annual Passover feast, most Bible scholars believe Jesus's ministry spanned 3 to 3.5 years. One year of somewhat obscurity, one year of popularity, and roughly one year of increasing hostilities, especially from Jewish leaders. Luke chapter 3 and verse 23 states, "Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry." After Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, at the direction of the Holy Spirit, he spent 40 days in the desert being tempted by Satan. Eventually, Jesus returned to his home region up north in Galilee and began traveling among the small towns of farmers and fishermen, teaching the people such profound lessons about God and Jewish law that his listeners didn't know what to make of him. Some called him Rabbi, meaning teacher. Others, the prophet. Still others, Messiah, sent by God to save Israel from her oppressors. One would think that Jesus would have begun his teaching mission, especially targeting Jerusalem and Judea, where most of the Jews resided. After all, Jerusalem was the capital, and God's temple was located there. However, God's master plan was determined long before Jesus walked the earth. Jesus was to begin his concentrated teaching and healing in Galilee, not Judea. Why Galilee? It was considered backward and included areas of Gentiles. 700 years before Jesus was born, in his incarnation, of course, the Hebrew prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, these words, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." The gloom and distress of the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali lands were on the northern border in northeast Galilee, west of the Jordan River, and so were the first to suffer from the invasion by the cruel Assyrians, marking the beginning of dark days for Israel, the northern kingdom. However, future to that time, God would transform their gloom to honor. This is confirmed in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 4 and verses 13 and following, which says, "Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah," to which Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, then adds, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Let's consider an application for us today. We are sometimes plagued by gloom and distress. We fear that our sorrows and troubles will never end. However, as faithful Christians, Jesus Christ remains our light who dispels the darkness, in good times and in bad times. He is our light. As we trust and persevere, as we're overcomers, we know that gloom and distress will end. It's temporary. And joy and glory will replace them one day forever into eternity. And what else? Who else can promise and keep this promise? Jesus Christ not only saves, he gives eternal life and joy incomparable. Now in the present, we need to be overcomers. So, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Here the Lord began engaged with the Jews for about a year and a half. In Jesus' humanity, he taught. He healed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, as Luke recorded in Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. The first century Jewish historian Josephus states there were 240 towns and villages in Galilee. You can be sure Jesus' preaching and teaching kept the people spellbound. "No man spake like this man," one listener exclaimed. Moreover, Jesus' miracles confirmed his teaching was truth from God, for only God, or only through God, could Jesus perform these miracles. Of course, Jesus is God-man. At this early stage, Jesus was praised by all. He was a sensation, a superstar. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Luke chapter 4 and verse 15. Eventually, Jesus moved to the lakeside town of Capernaum and ran his ministry from there within the tribal boundaries of Naphtali, for the most part. The pattern and priority of Jesus' ministry was teaching God's Word, of course, from the Old Testament, along with new teaching as the Son of God. The numerous synagogues means literally to bring together, and so a place of assembly, existed throughout Jewish populations in Galilee, the region of Galilee. The earliest archaeological evidence of the first synagogues comes from Egypt, where stone synagogue dedication inscriptions date from the 3rd century B.C. before Christ. Since the minimum number of Jewish men required to form a synagogue was 10, most, if not all, of the 240 towns and villages in Galilee would have had at least one synagogue. Some of the larger cities may have had dozens of synagogues. According to the Jerusalem Talmud writings, there were 480 synagogues in the city of Jerusalem. Synagogues were usually built out of stone and typically faced Jerusalem, the holy city, the capital city, where the temple was. They existed primarily for instruction in the scriptures. In a synagogue Sabbath service, a passage from the Old Testament would be read, followed by a teacher explaining its meaning to the congregation. The synagogues were by no means considered a replacement for the Jerusalem temple, which was the heart and soul of Judaism. Only at the temple could the sacrifices prescribed in the law of Moses be offered, and the feasts and ceremonies, such as circumcision, be celebrated. Not in the synagogues. There are no Old Testament references to synagogues, which is curious. But after the Babylonians destroyed the temple, when they sacked Jerusalem in 586 BC, the Jewish exiles began gathering in small groups to hear the teachings of the scriptures, God's word to them. Those informal gatherings eventually developed into the synagogues of Jesus' time. The Jews who lived outside of Palestine lacked ready access to the rebuilt Second Jerusalem Temple. Therefore, they built synagogues wherever they settled. The synagogues had no full-time preachers or teachers. The policy known as, quote, the freedom of synagogue, end quote, allowed for anyone approved by the ruler of the synagogue to teach. In the absence of a noted teacher or guest teacher, any of the men in attendance who were approved could teach. Therefore, synagogues were custom-made, the perfect platform in which to teach Israel for Jesus the Christ. Another officer of the synagogue, besides the ruler and other elders, was the Shazan. He was the keeper of the scrolls on which the scriptures were written. and was responsible for getting the proper scrolls out for each day's reading and returning them to the chest where they were stored. In addition to serving as places of worship, the synagogues also provided instruction for children, much like today's elementary schools, and also served as local courts. Many have admired the teachings of Jesus Christ. Yet admiration is not enough. Consider Thomas Jefferson, the third president of these United States, who actually culled out or cut out all and only the moral teachings of Jesus in the first three Gospels and gathered them into a book entitled The Life and Moral Teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. The book ends, Thomas Jefferson's book ends with, "And they laid Jesus in the tomb and departed." In other words, Thomas Jefferson did not believe, did not accept that all the Bible, all the New Testament in this case, was worthy of being put in his book, with commentary, I suppose, from Thomas Jefferson. George Washington, the first president of the United States, a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, chose this epitaph, which contains the words of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, and verse 25, in fact. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." You should understand that Thomas Jefferson did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He thought of Jesus only as a great moral teacher. He admired him only. George Washington, on the other hand, believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. George Washington believed all of the Bible, and he not only admired, he was a man of adoration toward the living Christ, Jesus Christ. Then Jesus, the Son of God, taught an immortal accompanying truth for all to believe or reject. Verse 26 of John chapter 11. "And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Believing and even living out Jesus' moral teachings only, his moral teachings only, saves no one. No one can come to God's satisfaction that only believes in his moral teachings. That's futile. Only the living Savior forevermore saves, by God's grace, through his atoning sacrifice on the cross and his empty tomb, faith. It is the faith. Do you believe in all of the Scripture? All that is God-breathed, inspired of God, infallible in the original autographs, that is, the original manuscripts? We must believe in a living Savior, not just a dead rabbi, even if he was a master teacher of morality. That is not enough. We must accept Jesus exactly as he states of himself, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies."
Lord, I commit my life. Oh,
We are thankful that you have listened to Words of Life program today. If you have been blessed by this personally, or if you have questions, please write to us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program by requesting program number 2328. That's 2328. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.